Hello?
Hello, everybody. It's Larry Goins. How is everybody doing?
Real good, Larry. Good to hear your voice,
great.
Buddy.
Great.
Excellent, excellent. We got a lot of people on the line. Please say your name and where you're from if you'd like to jump in.
Ed Tomal, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Ron Lee,
Abraham, Arlington, Texas.
Ashish from Richmond, Virginia.
Don Baker awesome. From Orlando.
That's great.
Steve Andre, Gulfport, Mississippi.
Awesome, awesome.
Frederick Tompkins, Denver, Colorado.
Great.
Reese Johnson, Columbia, South Carolina.
I love it. Anybody else want to jump in? Say your name, where you're from. All right, that looks like that's it for now. Welcome to the call. If this is your first time, congratulations and welcome to the family. I know we usually have quite a few people on the calls here. Sometimes there's more, sometimes there's less, but this is real casual. I do not normally have to mute the lines. I just keep them open. Everybody's respectful and takes time, takes turns asking questions. And I promise you, I'll be on here as long as it takes. And there's no agenda. It's just whatever you guys want to talk about, whatever you have questions about, whatever you need help with. I'm here to help you. This is your time. In between times, you can email me or call me. This is our time to be able to come together and to meet and get all your questions answered. So with that, let's just jump right in. Who would like to ask the first question?
Larry, this is John Jackson from Houston. How are you?
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, lots going on. I have one specific question. When you are doing seller financing and you're advertising for a buyer, what sites do you normally post on, and what sites give you the best results?
Okay, very, very good question. When I'm advertising for seller financing, what sites do I advertise on, and what gives me my biggest bang for my buck? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Good. Good. Here is the deal. Most of our properties and most of your properties will sell just from the bandit sign. Meaning, you go put out a bunch of those bandit signs that say owner financing, and you put your phone number there, and you put the price down, and you handwrite a couple things on it, like three bedroom, two bath, 1,100 square feet, whatever it is you want to say. And then you put out about 20, 25 of those signs, and your phone is going to ring off the hook. Now, you can also put the property on Craigslist as well, but do not, I repeat, do not put in the address until you own the property, okay? Very important. Don't put in the address until you own the property, all right? Very important. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep, that makes sense.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you very much.
I hope that helps.
Larry, is that a good process for a wholesale property as well?
Absolutely. If you've probably heard me say this before, but I have the same kind of signs that we put out to sell our wholesale deals, but instead of it saying owner financing, it says foreclosure. You can call up or go to banditsigns.com. Bandit, B-A-N-D-I-T, signs, signs.com, and all you have to do is tell them you want the Larry Goins foreclosure sign or the Larry Goins owner financing sign, and they will hook you up. They'll give you a good price. I don't make anything off of it. It doesn't matter to me, but they'll give you a good price. I've already checked prices around. They're the best price, and they're usually pretty quick. They did have a little snafu here couple of weeks ago where their printers were down, their presses were down, and it took them a little while to get signs sent out. But outside of that, they're normally very, very fast, and they're cheap as well. And get them printed on both sides, and the sign has an arrow on it, okay, as well. So foreclosure signs, you could put it on Craigslist, but do not, I repeat, do not put the address in the ad on Craigslist, okay? So those are the primary ways you're going to sell your properties, and as you're doing this, you're going to be building your buyer's list if you're buying and selling in the same area. Does that help?
Yes.
What was the name of the site again?
BanditSigns.com.
Thank you.
I've been working with those guys for years, many years, many much mucho years. They're really good to work with. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry, I have a question. This is Ashish from Richmond, Virginia.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Congratulations and welcome to the family.
Thank you. Thank you. My question is, if you are marketing a property in another state, it's out of state, how do you go about putting signs and advertising it apart from the online Craigslist?
Good question. Okay, what you have to do is find a local person that will go put your signs out for you, all right? Now, there's several ways you can do that. You can do a Google search for what's called field service reps. Field service reps, that's a term. When banks foreclose on a property, a bank hires an asset manager to dispose of the property. The asset managers hire different vendors like a realtor, as well as field service reps, okay? And those field service reps, they're going to do things like go out and winterize the property, keep the grass cut, change the locks on the door, those sort of things. And you could find some that will go put your signs out for you. A second thing you could do is run your own ad on Craigslist. Get paid to put out signs, okay? You could pay somebody $40 or whatever, $50, and you could either ship the signs to them or you could have Bandit Signs drop ship the signs right to them from Bandit Signs in Texas. Okay?
Okay.
Now, the third different thing you can do to find them, and this works really, really well for us, is you just contact a local temp agency. You know what I'm talking about? A temp agency.
Yes.
Contact a local temp agency and just have them, you tell them what you need to do. You know, it's kind of funny. We've called up temp agencies before, and the person who answers the phone ends up being the one to go out and put the signs out for us. They're like, oh, wow, I can do that. When do you need them done by? So did that help?
Yes, that's very helpful.
Excellent, excellent. Do you have a deal under contract? You need to go get some signs out?
No, I'm just trying to kind of look at some of the properties, and I'm thinking about it.
In different areas.
How I'm going to market
it. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
And how,
that's great. Good for you.
How do you check that the signs are up?
How do you check what?
That the signs are actually put.
How do you check and make sure that the signs have actually been put up? You sign up for a service and get this app, a phone app, called,
Something Crew.
Simple Crew. You're right. You're right. Simple Crew.
What?
Thank you very much. I,
can you spell that, please?
Simple. As in not complicated, S-I-M-P-L-E, and crew, as in work crew, C-R-E-W, simple crew.
Thank you.
.com. You're very welcome. And they make an app for an iPhone. They make an app for an Android and for a smartphone.
Yeah.
So, and what happens is when you sign somebody up for that app, you sign up your crew, okay? And like if you hire somebody off of Craigslist, you send that person an email. You send that person an email inviting them to join your team on Simple Crew. And then what happens is they will sign up for the app, and then whenever they go put the signs out, and take a picture of the signs, it will be geo-tracked. It'll geo-track it right to exactly where they put the sign out. So you can tell who put it out, when they put it out, and how many signs they put out, and everything. It'll geo-track where that sign got put out. It's a great, great source. It's not cheap. It's about $50 a month. But if you're doing enough signs, it's well worth it. You can also have ads, run ads, and have people go put out iBuy Houses signs as well. Make sense?
Uh-huh, thanks.
Good. You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Larry, Ed Tomal, Greensboro.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good, man. Really good to hear your voice. Nice to hear everybody else on the phone, too.
Awesome.
Larry, look, question for you, bud. I ended up countering much lower, as you suggested, after doing a good house inspection.
Right.
I came in at about $3,000 lower, and the owner declined the offer, didn't even counter, waited about a week, heard nothing, and then he countered with a slight increase. At that point, I wasn't interested in the deal anymore. The math wasn't right.
That's okay.
Yep, the math wasn't right. Since then, I've probably made about 6 or 7 other offers, Larry, and everything's been declining, which, you know, you told us a lot of it would be. You got to go through a lot of no's before you get to the yeses in order to make some money, and I understand that.
Exactly.
Yep. But here's the question, Larry. And you know, one thing I'm quickly discovering, and I don't know if I'm right, wrong, or just indifferent, but you know, I feel like the whole concept of driving for dollars is definitely a good avenue, a good approach to this. But I feel at the same time, I feel like I need to incorporate technology. I need to have postcards, flyers, 17 Volkswagen Beetles driving around town with my advertising on it. I don't know. I need to speed the process up, because looking at houses all day long and talking to realtors and knocking on doors is a very slow process.
Right.
You know, yellow postcards, the bandit signs, things that will automate the business. Am I on the right track? Are you thinking what I'm thinking, or what do you think?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to find deals. I'm a firm believer in, I would rather have 10 ways to find one house than one way to have to find 10 houses, okay?
Gotcha.
So although I love HUD, I do mostly HUD, I love the MLS, but, you know, the MLS and HUD is getting tighter. There's fewer deals. It's harder to find a deal. So you have to either go deep or go wide. And
yeah,
I think
yeah.
I mentioned this when you were at the office.
Yep.
In other words, just to let everybody else know what that means, if you want to stay, like you're in the Greensboro-Winston market.
Right.
So if you want to stay in that market, you know, you're going to have to find multiple ways to find more deals. Or if you just like one way of finding deals, HUD, for example, you can expand your geographic territory. And go out into the whole state or even into another state, all right?
Right.
So having said that, you know, I would hit the local RIA, talk to Bird Dogs. You could do some direct mail. You could do some Facebook ads. I would join all of the different Facebook groups in the Carolinas or in Greensboro, Winston, even maybe Raleigh. You're not too far from there.
Right.
Join those groups. Also join the buy-sell groups. on Facebook. All areas of Facebook have those little, what do you call them, buy, sell, market groups, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Where
I do. I know what you mean. Yep.
It's almost like Craigslist, but you know, but on Facebook. Yeah. In fact, yeah. My wife does that all the time. My wife does that. She's always selling clothes, kids' clothes, or buying kids' clothes, or just selling little knickknacks around the house and buying stuff. Finally, one day, my wife told me, she said, all we're really doing is decorating each other's houses. So, but anyway, I would join those groups, post on there what you're looking to buy, maybe even put a picture of a house and say Handyman Special. When they click on it, say, I'm looking to buy Handyman Specials, fixer-uppers.
Right.
I have cash. Mm-hmm. And quick closing, need to sell your property? You know, the flea market and yard sale groups on Facebook. Facebook is very powerful. Also go to LinkedIn and type in Greensboro or look for groups in Greensboro. Look for groups that have an interest in real estate, wholesalers. You can type in those keywords. You know, maybe you're buying from a wholesaler or selling to a wholesaler. You can build your buyers list. You can find properties. You can post your own ads on Craigslist.
Right.
Put a picture of a house and put, you know, Handyman Special, cheap cash. And then when they click on the link and call you, they're going to call you and you say, I'm sorry, that house is no longer available. You want to get on my buyers list, and that's a good way to find buyers. But here, the reason I'm telling you this, and I know you're looking for properties at this point, a lot of times when you're advertising to get properties like that or to sell properties, you end up getting people that call you that say, I actually have a property for sale. So it's kind of funny. You run an ad to sell properties, and you get sellers. You run an ad to buy properties, and you get buyers as well. So I would try that, Craigslist and LinkedIn and the Facebook groups and friend other people. Start yourself. Did you start your Facebook page for your real estate business? If you did, you can start joining groups with that and getting people to like and follow your page.
Yeah.
And just keep them up to date and post articles and shoot little videos and stuff like that just to keep people engaged.
Uh-huh.
And then as well as driving for dollars and pulling direct mail lists, there's a lot of places you can get direct mail lists. ListSource.com is one of them. ListSource.com. There's Melissa Data, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, Data, D-A-T-A.com.
Okay.
So does that
All right.
help?
Good stuff. Good stuff, Larry. Thank you.
Awesome. You're very welcome. If you need any more help, let me know. Here's another thing that not a lot of people know. I'm going to share this with you guys. Since we're talking about direct mail, you can actually buy a direct mail list, and then you can send that list to a company that will append the address and give you the phone numbers that are accompanying that address. So instead of having to do direct mail and spend thousands of dollars on postage, you can actually pick up the phone or hire a virtual assistant to pick up the phone and call those people and go through a script and set an appointment for you.
I got you.
The other thing you can do with that direct mail list, you can upload it to Facebook in your ads manager. You can take your direct mail list, upload it to Facebook, and Facebook can match up about 60% of them, but they'll match up and find an account that matches that address, and then you can do a retarget ad that says, I buy houses, any condition cash, and it'll only be shown to those people that you uploaded. It's called a custom audience on Facebook. So you're only running your ads and you're only paying for the people who see the ad that are on that list of direct mail list that you bought. So it's a very, very targeted list. So that's just a little advanced technique you could do there.
If you keep coming up with all these great ideas, Larry, you're going to get good at this.
Well, here's the thing. You can't implement everything. What I suggest to people is you keep about 5 to 10 things going at any given time that you want to work with. Just 5 to 10 things going. You know, like I know how to do short sales, but I hate a short sale. I don't want to do a short sale. So anyway, yeah, there's a lot. There's so many different ways to do this business. That's one of the things I love about it. You can pick and choose what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah, I'm quickly learning that marketing is key here. Otherwise, the phone ain't going to ring, and you're not going to make any money.
Exactly. All right, cool. Who else has a question?
Larry, I just have a follow-up on that. Which is a
sure.
company that adds the phone numbers to your direct mail list? Like, what company is that? That appends,
You know what? I don't have a name right offhand, but
okay.
I would say mailing list phone number append. Let's see if we can find one right quick. Phoneinfousa.com. That's
okay.
The one that Melissa Data will also do it. Melissa.com.
Okay.
They'll also do it. So will Peachtree Data. But InfoUSA is the person that is the one that somebody told me about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And all I really did was Google it. I Googled mailing list phone number append, APPEND. And then up popped a bunch of them. But when InfoUSA came up, I knew that was the one that I'd heard about before. And they'll do it for like some of them on here are like 4 cents a piece, 3 cents a piece, 4 cents a piece. So that's not bad. Good.
Okay.
All right. Who else has a question?
Larry, I have a question, if I may.
Sure.
This is Olga from Washington, D.C.
Hey, Olga.
I have a question. Hey, doing fine. Thank you. I lost my voice. Sorry, I can't speak too loud. We are lining up the investor, and so we seem to make good progress with that. We're finalizing the legal documents, and I want to know what's your perspective on the request for personal guarantee in addition to having a lien on the deed.
In addition to having a what?
To having a first lien on the property. The investor
okay.
also wants to have a personal guarantee. What's your
okay.
thoughts on that?
Okay. Well, I do not like to give a personal guarantee, but you can also tell them, you're going to be doing some of these deals in your retirement account as well, and in order to do that, there cannot be a personal guarantee. It has to be a non-recourse loan. And quite frankly, if he doesn't feel secure enough with the property, he probably should not be making the loan. And that's almost like a takeaway for you. In other words, you're going to say it something along the lines like this, Well, you can tell the amount of equity in this property. If you feel like you need to have a personal guarantee, then maybe this is not the deal for you because this property has 30% equity in it. And I'm not really sure why you're looking for a personal guarantee because the best thing that could happen is that I default on the loan and you get the property back because then you're going to make more money on the deal. Does that make sense?
Yes. Well,
go ahead.
The Small Business Association or whatever is the SB something, they have the statistics that he brought up that if you have 20% or more in the deal or in the equity, usually that's what banks require. Is that true?
Well, that's the exact reason that you're going to a private individual
okay.
as opposed to a bank because you like to be able to move fast. And it seems like he's taken a lot of time, and I understand this is the first one. I mean, this is what I would be telling him. I understand this is your first deal working with me, but I'm looking for somebody that we can build a relationship, and then I can let you know an address and how much, and we can get to a point to where you realize that, yeah, this is a good deal. Where do you need me to send the money? And not have to deal with a regulated bank that's going to make you jump through a bunch of hoops and go through a lot of red tape just to borrow money at 70% of the value. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Good. Now, the second part is about getting a first mortgage. Absolutely yes. It is going to be a first mortgage on the property, and that's his protection, as I was mentioning, because the best thing that could happen is you quit paying him and he gets the property back. That's the best thing that could happen.
And we have that. So we already provided this, and he wants,
good,
in addition to
now
that.
Now, here's
more...
the other thing. Here's the other thing I would do if I were you, Olga. You probably really want to work with this guy, don't you?
Well, he has a lot of money. He's talking about small portion, but he does have access to significantly more. So we do want to make this happen and make,
good,
him happy so he can trust
us. Here's what I would do if I were you. I would try to find another private lender. Like I showed you when you were at my office, by finding other people who use private money and then get the name of their private lender and you know, either call them, send them direct mail or whatever, and see if you can get another lender to fund this deal for you. And then you'll be able to go back to your guy that is making you jump through all these hoops, and you can, the next time you talk to him, you can say, I'm sorry, but this deal is already gone. But I do want to work with you, and I'll be glad to let you know the next time. However, as you can see, because I have really good deals, they don't last very long. So we've got to be able to make decisions a little bit faster than you have been. Is that something you think you would be able to do next time if you feel comfortable with the equity position that you'll be in?
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Okay. Oh, I'm already working on two more, you know, help, to drastically help to follow his questions. So now I have a kit that I can present to any other lender easily. So it helps us to build a case quickly. So we're massaging the other two, and they sort of move in the direction. But I don't want to lose this one. He has over $500,000 sitting there. He wants to break in as a lender, and we want this money.
Right. You don't want to make him mad, but you also want to let him know that he,
yeah,
needs you more than you need him in a nice way.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah,
there
you go.
So you would be
good,
against
good.
The idea of personal guarantee. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I
right?
would – listen, Olga, if you feel comfortable with the deal and you are okay with giving a personal guarantee – and in other words, if you know that if you defaulted on the deal and he had to take the property back and sell the property, that he would more than get paid off and you wouldn't have to come out of pocket and pay it out of your own personal money, then it's okay for you to sign a personal guarantee. But what you want to do with him up front is say, look, if you're willing to do this, say, look, I don't mind signing a personal guarantee on the first one or two, but once we get to where that we're doing these on a regular basis, you know, I don't want to be signing a personal guarantee in the future. Once you feel comfortable with me and you know that I do what I say I'm going to do and you know you're going to make money. Fair enough? So that's the way I would handle that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Larry.
You're very welcome. I hope that helped.
Thank you, yes.
And tell Brandy to call me. I've left her a couple messages.
Oh, okay, I will.
Yeah.
On the phone all the time. Yes, okay.
All right. I was just trying to follow up and do the one-on-one with her, and I've left her a couple messages that I haven't heard from her back.
Oh, okay, I will.
All right, cool. Who else has a question?
Larry, Dave Conrad, yeah, from Arlington, Texas. How you doing? Hey, I sent you an email a while ago. I don't know if you had a chance to look at a deal that I'm looking at.
When did you send the email?
Huh?
When did you send the email?
Today.
Okay.
Nope.
I don't see anything from today that I have. Oh. You might have to send it to me again. I don't see anything in my
Okay. I can keep some of the basics. The house was listed for $14,900. I offered $7,000. They came back and countered at $12,900. AOB's about $43,000. Average rent's about $1,100. I'm thinking it could be good.
Wait a minute. Rent or $1,100?
Hello?
Rents are $1,100?
Uh-huh.
Wow. How much work does it need?
Well, the pictures that I saw, and I don't know how current they are, because these property management company that's on it, they weren't very forthcoming with information. But I did find some pictures on some other sites, and it looks pretty fair condition. I mean, something that would be the filthy riches type, you know,
right.
Need work in the kitchen, maybe some carpet, paint, that type thing.
Right. Good, good, good. Okay.
Thinking of, you know, they came down to, I was thinking of maybe going up to, offering them $9,000.
Do you feel like you can pay $9,000 for it and make money on it? Can you pay $9,000 for it and make money?
What are the comps?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, what are the comps?
What are the costs?
Comp.
Yeah, one was 42 and the other one was 46.
All right. Yeah, I think you could probably pay $9,000 for it.
Okay.
Your first offer was $8,000, correct?
$7,000.
$7,000. All right. Yeah, you might want to go up to $8,000 first and then go up to $9,000 next time.
Okay. I'll try that.
That's the way I would probably play it.
Okay.
However, you do run the risk of them not even countering the second time.
Okay.
All right.
Well, maybe 85 then. I don't know.
They may not counter the second time, but, you know, if they don't, in a week or so, you could always go back in and raise it back up to $9,000.
Sure. Okay. I'll give that a try.
All right. Good luck with it. Let me know how it goes.
Okay, I will.
Awesome. Who else has a question?
Larry, I have another question. It's Olga again.
Sure.
So, on the HUD houses, I was looking at houses under 25,000 in Virginia, kind of mountain area. Some of the pictures are fuzzy and limited. I did find more on Realtor.com and Zillow.com, but it's still maybe 6-7 pictures total. What is your approach to something like this? It's HUD, so you can't request any more information. Do you walk away or you just go ahead and try to submit these? What's the right way?
Well, let me ask you a question. What's one of the things that I told you to do when you were at my office to be able to follow up on properties and get more information on them?
To call the realtor.
What did you do? Do what?
To call the realtor and ask.
Call the realtor. Have you called the realtor yet?
No. So that was my question. On the hot houses, do you expose yourself to this realtor and tell him that you're an investor looking for this information, or do you not expose yourself because you can't?
I'm not sure what you mean by expose yourself to the realtor.
Well, if I call them and I discuss this and I ask for this information and then they submit a bid.
You could tell them that, hey, I want to make an offer on this property. I do have a buyer's agent, but I'm sure you know more about the property than my buyer's agent. So my buyer's agent told me just to go ahead and call you, the listing agent, to get more information, and then they're going to submit a bid on this property for me.
Okay.
How's that sound?
So without Combs, it's not any different. You still can contact the listing agent and ask, right?
Absolutely you can, yes, because they know more about the property than anyone.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, thanks.
Does that help?
Yes.
Excellent. Who else has a question?
Larry.
Ed,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Larry, this is Steve Andre.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing? As we're getting started here and, you know, don't have the big system with Freedom Voice and Podio and all that stuff on it, what is a simple system that we can set up where, you know, we have, you know, calls going into an unmanned phone that answers and puts out a message that we can then retrieve the messages from?
You can still use Freedom Voice for that, or Call8, K-A-L-L, the number 8.com, or CallFire, CallFire.com. You could use any one of those and just have the calls forwarded to your cell phone, or you could have them go straight to voicemail and email you every time you get a message that was left. So that's a very, very simple process. It's not going to go into a Podio CRM or anything, but it's a very simple process. And then you simply pick up the phone and call them back and then make your offer.
Okay, so you said have it go directly to voicemail?
You could have it go directly to voicemail, or you could have it forwarded to your phone. And, you know, if you didn't answer it, I mean, where you could answer it live, but if you didn't answer it live, it would go to a voicemail.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's very simple, but it works. And you don't have to start out with a slick CRM or any of that stuff.
Right.
You know, you can take it one trip at a time and work your way up.
Yeah.
Not a big deal at all.
Are you saying do it with like an answering machine at your house?
Oh, no, I mean, I wouldn't do that because then you got to go home to retrieve the messages or whatever. But I would just do some sort of a voicemail. You know, you could even Google the term virtual PBX. Virtual PBX. And you can find all the different call services out there like CallFire and Freedom Voice.
Okay.
And it's basically a system where you could set up voicemails, you could set up multiple mailboxes, you can have calls forwarded to you, you can forward voicemail messages to people. You know, there's all different kind of features, but I would Google the keywords virtual PBX.
Right. Okay.
Excellent.
Thanks.
I hope that helps. You're very welcome. Who else has a question? Oh, Ed, you had a question.
No, I was just going to say something about what a couple of calls, you know, a couple of chats back, the man mentioned the house for $14,900, filthy richest style house, $14,900. They countered with $12,900. He was wondering if he can make some money on a deal and stuff, and I'm looking at the filthy riches analyzer here, Larry, and I mean, I'm thinking even if he paid $12,900, correct me if I'm wrong here, even if he paid $12,900 and put $15,000 into this little, you know, filthy dog with little fleas all over it, he'd have $27,900 into the house. And if he took a $3,000 down payment, you know, he'd have $24,900 into the house. If the monthly payments, even I brought the payments down to a 72-month term, 6 years of payments if he did owner or seller financing. The monthly payments would only be about $700 a month. That's well below the $1,100 a month rental that he claims that the house can get. So that would easily accommodate some taxes and insurance. And that's only a 6-year term at 9%. If he sold the note, you don't have to pull up the analyzer. I'm looking at it. But if he sold the note at a 15% yield, he'd still make $8,300. And if he didn't sell the note, if he just sold the house and got about $42,000, which was the comp, the low side of the comp, he's only got 27.9 in it. I mean, there's room there for more than $10,000 worth of profit.
Yep.
You know, to me, it seems like a no-brainer if he can truly get $42,000 for the house. And if he can, if he can get 36 or 37 or 38, he can still make 10 grand.
So what sell price were you basing these numbers on?
On 42,000. He said the comps are 42 to 46. So I went with the low side. And at 42, you know, I can tell you the analyzer is telling me he can finance this, do seller financing for 6 years and the payment only be $700 a month, $703 to be exact.
You want me to tell you why that's not a good deal?
Tell me why.
Okay. Well, two reasons, okay? Number one, you're talking about making $8,000 to $10,000 on a house that you've got to buy. You got to do a $15,000 rehab. You got to market it and advertise it and find somebody that's going to live in it. You got to go through an RMLO. You got to take a credit application, get them approved, get them closed. Then you got to season that note, and then you got to sell that note for a $10,000 profit. Man, just beat your head against the wall. That's not worth it. So the second thing is, if you sell that note, and you said sell that note for $37,000, I'm guessing, if you're in it for 27, you're going to sell it for $35,000 to $37,000.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
First of all, you've got to find a note buyer that's willing to pay that much for that kind of property.
Right.
Right? What's 37 divided by 42?
37,000 divided by 42?
Yeah, 37, or even just 37 divided by 42, that's 88% loan to value. No note buyer is going to pay 88% loan to value for a note.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's way too much work for $8,000 to $10,000. I would just soon buy the property for 12, or not 12, but, you know, 8 or 9 or whatever, and add 5 or 6 or 7 to it and wholesale it out and be done with it and move on.
Well, and I agree with you. I agree 100%. I was just thinking worst case, if he put $15,000 into it, and I just picked that number out of a hat because, it's a $12,000 or $14,000 house. So it's going to need work. So I just picked $15,000. Even if he put $15,000 into it, you know, he can either sell it for 5 or 6, like you said, and do a quick wholesale flip, or rehab it and still make some money. I mean, it seems like, you know,
right.
I mean, it depends on how much he wants to work on the deal, but there's money to be made in all cases. It just depends on how hard he wants to work at it.
Well, yeah, in addition to the other two things I mentioned, the third reason is the model is to sell it for 3 to 6 times what you have in it. So
gotcha.
If you're in it for 28,
yeah,
28, that's 56 plus another 28.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
it's way out of the range.
You've got to be way above the market. Otherwise, selling this note is going to be tough.
Yeah.
But personally, I would be a little suspicious about a property you can pick up for $12,000 that the rent comes for $1,100.
Yeah. I agree. I would have guessed it would be a $400 a month rent or $450 or something.
Or even 5 or 6 would be, you know, reasonable. It wouldn't be unreasonable, but $1,100 rent comps, I would be a little concerned about that.
Yep, good point. Good point.
Okay. Yeah. But I'm glad you brought that up, you know, because chances are if you had that question or was, you know, trying to run the numbers, somebody else might have been as well. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the question.
Sure. Anybody else have a question? Guys, I am in San Diego in La Jolla, California, La Jolla near San Diego. But I'm in a mastermind right now, and I'm looking out over the ocean at the Torrey Pines Resort, over the golf course and out over the ocean. It's beautiful out here.
And it's still daylight.
And it's still daylight. It is. If you get it, listen, guys, when you start growing your business and you start doing 50-plus deals a year, I will get you in this mastermind. It's by referral. It's an awesome mastermind. I'm sitting beside a guy that does 1,000 deals a year.
Wow.
And on the other side is a guy that has 400 employees. There's another guy that has 4,000 employees, and they're doing hundreds of deals a year. There's private money lenders, hard money lenders, venture capitalists. There's all kind of people. It's all the big movers and shakers in about every market in the U.S. in real estate.
Wow.
Sounds good. Now, I've made a note of that. 50 deals a year, and I'm in, right?
You got to, well, 50 deals a year, and you qualify to get in. You still got to pay 25 grand a year to be in it.
Okay, okay. Well, we all heard that.
Yeah, but it's a goal. It's a goal I want all my students to strive for, because it's all the big movers and shakers. If you named any kind of a big turnkey provider, any big wholesaler, they're here this week.
Sounds good, buddy. That's a good goal to work towards.
It is. It is. It's called collective genius. The collective genius.
Larry, can I ask you a question on the a bit lost,
yes,
less than collective genius level?
Sure.
Can you please tell me what your feeling would be if I came across a property that it was listed in February for $30,000, dropped $3,000 every month, basically, down to $21,000. The last drop was just in June. So they consistently drop at $3,000, it's 10 to 12% price. What does it tell you? It's a hot property. Comps are running in the 50,000 range.
Uh-huh.
Is that them being desperate to get rid of something, or is it something wrong with the property potentially? Does it say anything at all? And
well,
what
did the realtor say? What did the realtor say when you
called? I didn't
them?
Call. I will. I will call tomorrow first thing. But just to get an idea, if you see this consistent drop every 6 weeks of 3,000, which is 10%
well,
of the price.
Well, here's the thing. That's the way it's supposed to happen. But not everybody drops their prices every 4 to 6 weeks like they're supposed to do. I say supposed to do, like a lot of them do. But that's really what they should be doing, because they're foreclosures, they're REOs. So if they're not selling, they need to be doing whatever they need to drop the price to move them out.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, I would still ask, you know, why do you think this property's not selling? You know, what's wrong with it? You think it's still overpriced? Why, you know, have you had many offers on it? And it's probably a couple of things. Number one, it's probably in a small town. It's probably not in a big city, right?
Yes. Yes.
And number two, it could be something like number of bedrooms, number of baths, the age of the property, or the square footage of the property. How big is it?
3-1, about 1,100, and it's 1955,
okay,
which is not super old.
1955 is not bad. So I think you're going to find out a lot more information once you call the agent. and ask them.
Okay, but if, let's say, the house, assuming the house is really nothing wrong with that, what would be the not offensive proposition? Will 12,000, 12,500 be too low?
Well, why do you want it not to be offensive?
Well, I mean, I want them to talk to me at least.
Okay.
So from 30 where they were initially, 21 right now, if I go with 12.5, which is 60% of what they're asking.
Yeah, you could start there and see what happens. Listen, you said it's a HUD house, right?
Yeah.
It's all bids are submitted online. You're not going to offend anybody by clicking submit.
Yeah, so HUD, yes, but in general, if I were to talk, would that be acceptable, too low, too high? How do I fit in?
Well,
so far with
what do your numbers say you can pay for the property? That's all you have to do is just run the numbers and determine what you can pay for the property based on what you're going to do with it.
Honestly, from what I understand in the comps, it looks like you can go as high as 24,000 at 60% of the comps. But obviously, they're doing this at 21.
You're going to wholesale it, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe the reason they've dropped it then, if your numbers say you can pay 24 and they're down to 21, there's a reason that it's not selling for that.
Okay.
Maybe the market won't bear that. Maybe there's a lot of other properties that are low priced in the area for sale. So you need to get a little bit better deal to better compete with them. But I think you're going to find out a lot more information once you call the agent.
Okay. And is there such a thing as no buyers available in the remote areas?
Is there such a thing as no buyers available?
Right. I mean, wholesaling only works if you have a buyer who will buy it from you. And
yeah, here's the thing. When you're working in small towns, okay, you have better quality buyers. They typically have cash, but there's fewer of them. But on the other hand, you only need one.
Yeah, and if
so
I get it to 15, I can.
I think what you need to do is talk to the agent and ask the agent about how's the market there, you know, what's the average number of days on market, how long does it take properties to sell, and that sort of thing.
Did Olga mention the sold dollars there for three or four houses within the past 6 months?
I don't think she did.
You know, comp is one thing, but what do they sell? What are the last three houses of the same dimensions and all within about a mile of the current house sell for?
That's what a comp is.
Yeah, they do sell. 50,000, I saw properties sold as late as January and February 2017. It's not huge amounts because it's kind of more remote. It's along the 81, 2 hours north the direction of Virginia, in Virginia.
Right.
So it's not...
I think you're going to find out a lot more information when you call the realtor. Just have your list of questions to ask with you when you call, so you can ask all those questions.
Okay. But you cannot make an offer. You cannot make an offer to the listing agent directly. You have to go through the site, right, on HUD.
Well, you could. You could tell the listing agent, I would like to offer X on this property, and all they're going to do is, you know, go to the HUD website and submit it. But they're probably going to want to know more about you first, and they might make you sign an offer to purchase, put up a deposit, just depending on if they know you or not.
Okay.
But you could tell them that you already have a buyer's agent. You just wanted to get some information before the bid was submitted.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, this is Ashish. I have another question.
Sure.
When it comes to getting accurate comps, can you suggest some sites or different ways to get it apart from the MLS?
Yeah, just look on, what state are you in?
Virginia.
Okay. I would look on Zillow and Trulia, but really Zillow, if you could pull up sold comps, that's mm-hmm. real data of real properties that really sold in the area. So, okay. I mean, Zillow probably has more data feeds and more data than just about anybody. So it's all right there and it's free.
Okay. The sold comps or sold houses.
Yeah,
not
the Zestimate and
right.
not the for sale, but the sold comps.
Okay.
Good. Does that help?
Yes, that's helpful. Thanks.
Awesome.
Hey, Larry.
Awesome.
Ron Lee in Wisconsin. I got one for you. And that is looking for a investor-friendly title company. You got a nationwide one?
What state are you in?
Wisconsin.
Okay, Wisconsin. Here's what you do. You're not in Madison by chance, are you?
Nope, Oshkosh.
Okay. Do you have an investors group anywhere near you?
Yeah, actually. Appleton.
You do?
Yeah, Appleton is Milwaukee.
Contact your local RIA group and ask the people there, if you go to a meeting, you know, find out who the movers and shakers are, and then find out what title company they're using, okay?
Good deal.
And that's going to be your investor-friendly title company. If you live in a market, if anybody is on here listening and you live in a market where you do not have a local RIA group, then you want to find properties listed that say like handyman special, fixer-upper, foreclosure, bank-owned, REOs, and then call those agents. When you're calling about the property, every time you call about a property, ask the agent, hey, I'm always looking for more vendors to work with. Who's an investor-friendly title company that you know of? And you can start getting some people to add to your list that way as well. How about that?
Good deal. Thanks.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
And there
anybody
you
else have a question?
Small question. One of the sites, mycouseisdeals.com, has such a category as investor-friendly foreclosure. What do you know what that means?
I know that myhousedeals.com, I know the owner of that site, and that's a subscription service. You pay a monthly fee to get the same information that's on the Internet.
Right, but there's like a category that they have, which is like investor-friendly.
That's because it sounds good to sell you a subscription.
Okay. Okay, so you're not familiar with what it is.
Don't tell them I told you that, okay?
I won't.
Okay. Did you subscribe yet? Have you paid?
No. The thing is you can get it for free. You subscribe to the Prime membership.
Well, he gives like a 14-day membership or something like that for free.
Yeah. So I just went in, you know.
It's like 40 or 50 bucks a month or something.
But I'm just trying to understand if what information they give is valuable or not, because they state it is something prior to hitting the market.
It's a foreclosure is a foreclosure.
Okay.
No difference.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry, it's Dave again. Conrad, I got one more question. What's your advice on calling agents that, like, don't call back, or instead of calling back, they just text back, you know, what do you want, and, like, they're trying to avoid you?
You mean after you've submitted an offer?
No, before that.
You mean if they have a listing and you're calling to inquire about the listing?
Right.
Okay, here's the voicemail message that you leave, okay?
Okay.
Okay, you say, hey, this is Larry, Larry Goins. I need to get an offer to you on your listing at whatever the address is. Hit me back as soon as you can. Let's see if we can get a deal closed. And then you leave your number, and they'll call you back.
Okay. We'll try that.
And if they don't call you back, then send them a text message, something similar.
Okay.
Awesome. I hope that helps. Let me know how it works out.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, buddy. You're welcome. Anybody else have a question? You guys got some really good questions tonight. Anybody else?
Hey, Larry, this is Brandy.
Hey, Brandy, how are you?
Good. I don't really have a question, but we've been playing phone tag, so I was just letting you know at your convenience you can call me back.
Good. Did Olga tell you to get on the call tonight?
No, I got the email, and then I was working, and I lost track of time, so Guido told me to get online. He sent me a Facebook message.
Oh, did he really? Yeah, I just asked Olga to tell you to call me. So,
I think he heard you, so he sent me a Facebook message, and I was actually talking to some other people, and they said I saw it pop up. So.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I was on the phone with him earlier. He got a bid accepted.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad you called me back. I am in San Diego right now. And I will be back Wednesday night late, and then I leave Thursday morning to go to Cleveland. So let's try to touch base next week and get you a game plan going, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks.
Awesome. You're very welcome. Thank you. I'm glad you called in.
Hey, Larry, Ed with Greensboro again. Ed in Greensboro. You mentioned list source before. Regarding all these lists, Larry, how current are they? Are they good lists, or are we buying a bunch of junk that they keep reselling to everybody?
Well, it's not like opt-in list or anything. It's compiled list. In other words, let's say your category for your list search is you want properties that are valued between 50 and 100, that somebody's owned at least 7 years, and they have at least 40% equity. That's what you're going to get based on public records.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize I can break it down that well, because I thought it was just like an absentee owner list or a foreclosures prospects or something like that. That's what they mention on this website.
Oh, yeah. If you'll go to one of those websites, you can really drill down. You can drill down about mortgage size, free and clear, you know, how many years they've owned it, value of the properties.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, a lot of good stuff.
Okay. Good. Thanks. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Anyone else have a question? Yes.
Yes, Larry. This is Ashish again from Richmond. Just wanted to ask you if you know of any RMLOs that work in the Virginia market?
Look in that directory and see if there's one in there. If not, just start calling some attorneys or title companies that close a lot of deals and ask them if they have a mortgage broker that refers them a lot of loans to close that they could contact to originate a seller finance transaction to keep you in compliance with Dodd-Frank.
Okay.
And most attorneys know somebody that sends them a lot of business as an RMLO. You know, like maybe there's a lender that does a lot of refinances or whatever, and they use a specific attorney or title company, and that RMLO will do it for the attorney. They might not do it for you if you call them, but they'll do it for the attorney.
Okay.
Larry, Ed in Greensboro saying goodnight to you and to everybody. Thanks for the inspiration and the great job. Watch the sun out there. I don't want you turning into a red lobster.
I hear you, man. It's not that hot out here. It's nice. I got the door open.
Okay. Hey, goodnight to you and to everybody else.
Thanks a lot. Have a good night. Right, anybody else have a question?
Yes, hi. Joseph Shock, South Carolina. How are you, Larry?
Hey.
Quick.
How are you, sir?
Yes, just great, just great. Sold first property, yes.
You sold a property?
Yes.
First one.
First one with owner financing, yes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Larry.
Question.
You mentioned
from the beginning that when you put sign and everything, Craigslist, do not put address. If they are calling you for that, are you giving them address or not?
Okay, the reason that you don't want to give them the address initially is if you do not own it yet, and I believe you own yours. So if you do not own it yet, you don't want the agent seeing you advertising their listing that you haven't purchased yet. That's the reason. So if someone calls about your property that you're selling and you do not own it yet, do you give them the address? The short answer is not until you find out if they're a qualified buyer. And then you could give them the address, tell them to ride by and look at the outside of the house, ignore the sign in the yard because, if it's listed, ignore the listing sign in the yard because you are offering it for owner financing. If they call that sign, they're just going to sell it for cash. So, and then if they like the outside, they like the neighborhood, then to let you know and you'll get them in the house. Make sense?
Yes.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else? Anybody else have a question? All right, going once.
I actually do. This is Lisa, Clearwater, Florida.
Hey, Lisa.
I haven't been. Hey, guy, how are you doing? I haven't been to my Inner Circle boot camp yet. I'm set up for July, but I'm reading through the HUD stuff. That seems to be the best fit for me based on my circumstances right now. So
right.
I'm listening to all of your webinars on YouTube, just trying to saturate with everything you've got before I get to the Inner Circle.
Sure.
Will we be able to piggyback on your VAs on that system that you have set up in other countries, or is that, is it possible to reach out to those people to set up our own thing, or do we piggyback with you, or how do we handle people when we're looking at that shotgun approach with the HUD homes?
Well, we'll get into that whenever we get here a little bit deeper, whenever you get to the office. But
okay.
The bottom line is I will show you how to hire your own virtual assistant, where to go, how to do it, the type of ad and stuff, and I'll even give you ad samples that you can run. But
okay.
Depending on the amount of time that you can personally put into this, you will either hire a VA or you'll start out doing it by yourself. But I'll show you how to do it both ways.
Yeah, the time thing is rough. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, owner-operator. So I'll be, basically doing this all from the truck. And it's just everything is different every day. I just don't have a set schedule.
Do
so,
you travel by yourself?
I do. Yep, I'm solo out here.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Are you in the truck right now?
I sure am. You bet. I'm sitting in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania.
Wow. Are you parked
yep.
or are you driving?
No. I'm parked. I listened to last week's call on the road and the week before that on the road. But no, was able to park for this one, thank goodness.
That's good. Well, I'm glad.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
So once I... once I get in, we'll be able to suss all that out and make this thing work so that I can make it work, I guess.
Absolutely. We'll get you a game plan just for you.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate your time.
You're very welcome. No problem at all. It's my pleasure, and welcome aboard.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, and you be careful out there.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah. Drive like a grandma.
There you go. That's funny. That's funny. Cool. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, I had a question about where to pick up template, different ideas for templates regarding postcards and mail. Is there like a specific site where you can go to pick up different ideas there, or would you just go strictly with where you're buying your lists from? You know, they give you different ideas as far as different templates and mail pieces, and I was wondering if there was a website that was dedicated to just that.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily a specific website, but there are some out there that do kind of specialize in, like, yellow letter. There's
yes.
Go Big Yellow Letter. There's yellowletter.com, gobigyellowletter.com. There's myreipro.com. They do some of that. And it's actually yellow letters with an S.
Okay.
And then if you have a CRM, like RealFlow or REI Black Book, they have some stuff built into them.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope that helps.
Yes, thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Oh, I did have one more question for you, Larry, and then we'll probably take it on in from here. And that question was about CRMs. And with like Podio, is there a minimum amount of people or employees that you would have to to run something like that? Is there a minimum amount of employees?
No, I wouldn't say at all a minimum amount of employees. I would just say that you would need to be to the point where you need a system to keep track of your deals and keep track of your leads coming in, and you won't follow up on your leads. But employees, no, that has nothing to do with it. It all has to do with what kind of follow-up system do you want with your seller leads, your buyer leads, keeping track of your properties, and that sort of thing.
Okay. So you can have like a virtual assistant that takes care of the leads, or you can have an in-house person takes care of the leads, right?
Right, right. In other words, you could have somebody that would that would do a set on the lead that would separate the suspects from the prospects and tee them up for
mm-hmm.
you, and then you could go out and meet them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then now as far as the going out and meeting part, is that something that, you know, after you get so many of them, you just don't do it anymore and you hire somebody separate to do that, or is that something – you know, starting out in the business, you would want to just do that.
Better wrap it up. Well, yeah, somebody needs to go out and meet the seller at the house, do the walkthrough and make the offer on the house. Initially, it should probably be you, but after a while, then you're probably going to hire, you know, disposition people or salespeople to do that. No, I'm sorry, not disposition, but acquisition people to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's kind of how I figured. Once you get good at it, then you could train somebody to do it. That's kind of what I suspected.
Right. Yep. Good. Does that help?
Yes, thanks.
Excellent. You're welcome. Anybody else?
I don't have anything else.
Anybody else? Going once.
Thanks, Larry.
Larry, when is this call going to be forwarded to the email for the record? The recording going to be forwarded?
I'm not sure, but if you will, I'm not sure when they get recorded, but it usually takes them about a day or so to be ready. But usually we have a guy in the office that does that. But you could email customerservice@larrygoins.com and ask when they'll be ready.
Okay, so when they are ready, are they forwarded to our emails, or is it posted on Facebook on Inner Circle?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure if it's emailed or if it goes to like a link or something. But
I believe Candace normally emails them out.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to, you can email Candace or email customer service, and they'll let you know.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you guys being on today.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
You guys,
too. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Good night.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night,
you too.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.